Urinal cake pizza. Urinal cake pizza. Urinal cake pizza. When the morning greets ya. Urinal cake pizza. You've been out all night whoring. You need to be restoring. It's great for breakfast. Nothing ever lasts. Urinal cake pizza. Urinal cake pizza. Urinal cake pizza. $5.99. Urinal cake pizza. Urinal cake pizza. It's for what the morning greets ya. Good morning, my friends. I am going to start selling urinal cake pizza. It will be pizza made of old urinal cakes and the proteins and yellow fibers, the various greases and vitamins that the cinnamon scrub people pull from the Brunctus pit when they're cleaning out the flup tube. If you're a plumber, you know, or a porn star. I'm a plumber. I will clean out your flectus. I will remove the greases. I'll remove that damnable Percocet, baby. 5 pounds, 2 ounces. I'll remove it. I'll take it to the scientists. They'll bring it back to life. It'll learn horrible strife and want to go back to the septic tank nightmare. Because it is Saturday. Saturday, November the 9th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's almost 6 a.m. You know who the fuck you're talking to, baby. You want to buy urinal cake pizza? Good morning. Fuck you, I love you. Fuck you. I love you. Fuck you. I love you. Fuck you. I love you. Good morning. Fuck you. I love you. I have good news, people. And yes, it is November the 9th, 2024, almost 6 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from where we'll be breaking ground soon for our initial Institute of Discoverability and Introspective Renal Contractual De-Blimptified Casual Default Swap Type Contract Meeting Center. The Goldman people are talking to me. Yes, Goldman Sachs has me on the phone. Yes, they're calling me now. Take our money, Dan. Be our special Fran. We'll take you out to dinner. We'll buy you a really nice steak. You'll have the potatoes. I'll have macaroni. I have glittering news, my followers. Glittering news. And it's not about urinal cake pizza, even though I believe urinalcakepizza.com will be the biggest hit. And when we do our IPO, watch out, Japan. My Danifesto, my manifesto, Boblimpdoc, towards a new lurching, is now available. The first edition, not very well edited, not very well proofread. You'll find mistakes, you'll find errors, you'll get really sad. You might get kind of mad. You can buy it. And it's possible that there will be a paperback version soon, too. So you can bring it on a plane. And somebody asks you, what are you reading? And you could say, good morning, fuck you, I love you. And they'll look away, maybe. Or pretend they didn't hear it. They'll look away and look at that pamphlet. The one that shows you how to fucking survive, how to stay alive, how to avoid death. They'll show you those little handouts that show you how you can turn your seat cushion into a lifeboat. Yes, if you buy Boblimpdoc towards a new lurching, the one-time offer Manifesto Danifesto, on sale for various prices, to include free, because technically there's a link to my free PDF, but your time is not free, and once you're done reading it, all the control will go to me, and I will be your lord, and I will not get bored. It won't be like SimCity, the year 2000, no. Because I got bored with SimCity. I just didn't really love the game. But when I would get back from drinking martinis on Friday nights in the year 2000 with my friends at Rolls-Royce in Indianapolis, I would turn on SimCity 2000. And mostly just to go into God mode and send tornadoes and shit. And when I built a city when I was really drunk and kind of belligerent off of martinis and smoking cigarettes, when I would build a city back in 2000... I built two kinds of structures. I built prisons. I built factories. I built a road connecting the two. So who invented the 15-minute city, Biddy? Who invented the boogaloo? Who really talked about TDS back in 2016 and what it really means? And do I fucking care? Do I cry in my syrup? Do I leak blood? Is my skin black? Is my skin brown? Or am I just a dirty, nasty ginger? The gingerbread man. Say gingerbread man 5 times in the mirror. Turn off the lights in the bathroom and I'll appear if you read my fucking manifesto. So read the manifesto. It's about 27,000 words. Read the manifesto. It's really critical. Read it, read it, read it soon. Take it on your trip to the moon. You'll become a goon if you read my fucking manifesto. And yes, I'll finish off the last 3 chapters. Excuse me, yes, the last 3 chapters, because that's 11, 12, and 13. So yeah, I'll finish off 11, 12, 13, sometime this weekend. And then you'll have the audio chapters and the book, and you can give somebody this thing for Christmas. The bottom line is you can fuck with people. Even if you don't want to read it, you can fuck with people. You can take it to the fucking Barnes and Nobles or the fucking Starbucks or whatever crooked commie coffee house you go to get your free trade coffee because you're sometimes a sideways squando. You take that squando mofo to your coffee shop Drimbo and your bimbo girlfriend will imbuvulate when she sees you reading that. Okay. Dan, that's enough self-promotion. Oh, fuck you, Mr. Scrumbo. So here's the deal. I went back on Twitter in late 2023 for a couple different reasons. One, my living situation was kind of terrible and getting worse at a rapid rate, and I needed some place to at least sort of vent. And two, because I wanted to see if the whole Elon Musk freed the slaves bullshit was true. Well, I can tell you definitively what I've told you multiple times in the last year. I, as a blue badge account, who for some odd reason doesn't get the little balloons on his birthday, even though I'm like verified anyways, I'm special. Anyways, it's not a free speech platform. It is a dumpster fire. All the social media are dumpster fires. In fact, you could argue that the World Wide Web itself at this point is a big fucking dumpster fire. But some of the people that listen to my podcast also quote-unquote follow me on Twitter or X. Let's call it X. X marks the spot. Hey, Elon, get your crack whore. Get your crack whore, Elon. Yeah, get your crack whore on, Elon. Some of you don't have to think this is about you, but if you're listening, it could be. Some of you have in recent days offered unsolicited advice about my health based upon listening to a podcast that I was doing at 4:30 in the morning. And I don't know what to tell you. I remember February 2020 very well because I was on Twitter then, a different account. There's a pattern here. I get banned a lot. I was on Twitter in 2020 and I encountered for the first time this thing I'd call a Twitter nurse. A Twitter nurse is somebody who is reading your TL, ends up insinuating themselves, starts DMing you because you're both following each other, and oh my God, the monkey herpes COVID, right? And then you tell them you got a sniffle, you got a cold, and no, it's the COVID, right? You got to go to the hospital, right? You got to get on a respirator, right? And I had that happen to me. I lived a half a mile from Harborview Medical Center, and frankly, just about every other ER in Seattle when this was going on. And I had a Twitter nurse telling me, you gotta go on a respirator. You gotta go to the hospitals. You're a young man, 50 year old. Go to the fucking hospital and get on a fucking respirator. Yeah. If you're on Twitter and you follow me, don't ever give me medical advice. I don't care if you listen to my podcast or not. Don't tell me that you somehow heard a tone and you think I'm getting sick. That's sideways bullshit. The dumbest fucking place to provide medical advice is Twitter. The dumbest fucking place to get medical advice is, you know, the landfill, the dumpster fire known as Twitter. And that applies to all the social media. That applies to your fucking Discord. That applies to your Teletubby bullshit, your Telegram. That applies to all of it. WhatsApp, I don't give a fuck. TikTok. Okay? Do not seek medical advice from TikTok or YouTube or Twitter or Facebook, and don't provide it there. If you think somehow it makes people's lives better if you do, you are fucked in the head. You're a gaslighter. Don't show me a video of some AR build you did, and you just fired 5,000 rounds to shock people, and your AR explodes. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I have a master's degree in military history, but I can tell you, in the history of warfare, no one has ever used a gun like that, that way. Have there been cases of using like an M60 to the point that the barrel, you know, melts? Yeah, that's why you have a replacement barrel, shithead. Same with your fucking M250 cal. But in the history of fucking Vietnam, Afghanistan, you name it, show me any fucking gunfight where A, soldier had 5,000 rounds, or B, fire them in like 20 minutes. So stop with those fucking videos. I know what they're for. They're for scaring the fuck out of people. You fucking gaslighting psyop piece of shit cartoon soldier. Don't brag about your Q clearance, you angry Okinawan. I don't know what your current account title is. You tell people you have access to super information. You definitely had the killer COVID. It almost killed your whole family. Fuck off with your Q clearance bullshit. Actual fucking operators, people who have actual clearances, are not on Twitter unless they're pretending to be a faker. Then they might be. That's called manipulation. Yeah, social engineering. Also see, you know, psychological warfare. And once again, you're the Boogaloo cartoon soldier with your fucking Hawaiian shirt bullshit. You don't change. It's always the same. I mean, best case scenario, if you're real, your Papa Blump won, you went to Cabela's, you bought a shitload of ammo, maybe you went to the range, you're still doing zero platoon training, zero squad level training, hell is no company level training, you don't have your tactical shit together, but you got a good shot group. Go home, Boogaloo cartoon soldier, and sit on your guns for another 4 fucking years if you think you got 4 years. Most of you are fake. I could be fake. The World Wide Web is not a community, shitheads. It is an interlocking set of digital ghettos with some little roads between them. And if Google likes you, maybe they'll let people see you. But in reality, if Google hates you, you're fucked. That's the truth. That's the truth. And when a sheepdog says, well, I'm so buried to 10 million people... Think about Khrushchev's secret speech, or better yet, the Wired headline I put into my manifesto about, you know, Zuckerberg's top secret bunker in Hawaii. Because there's not just irony in this bullshit, there's some simple truths you can glean out, my fellow little puddle flower Sovietologist. But if you're a Twitter nurse or a cartoon soldier, if you're an angry, crazy Okinawan with a Q clearance talking about your kidney exploding, I don't want to hear it. I can't verify it. And for the most part, you're just a manipulative, giant piece of fucking shit. Does that make it clear? Twitter's not a place to become a friend. If you think Twitter is a place to become a friend, you're wrong. Is it possible to meet a friend on Twitter? Sure. Is it possible to exchange information and to actually meet at a restaurant or something? Sure. But are you actually going to make a friend purely based on social media? Probably not. And if you do, it's not probably a good friend. And not the kind of person you should be wasting your fucking time on at this point in human history. That's the truth. There are people in your community, in all likelihood, that would make better friends. And they're real people. You can shake their hands. You can hug them. You can actually care about them, and they can show concern in return. And if you're smart, you're building a community of people like that. Well, frankly, you've been building a community like that for the last 10 years. If you're smart, you notice what I did 10 years ago. This shit show's gonna fall apart. And if you think you got another 10 years or 4 years because of Papa Blump, fuck you, cartoon soldier. Fuck you, Twitter nurse. Fuck you, Q clearance fucktard. I know where the Chinese troops are on Vancouver Island. Go fuck yourself. Oh, here's a video of tanks heading somewhere. Those are self-propelled artillery. You explain that to the retards that follow the retards. It's like, but she has a Q clearance. Yeah. Q clearance. Above top secret. tweeting this shit on Twitter. Wow. It is. It's just like Khrushchev's secret speech. If you know, you know. Next topic. So we're going to practice a little bit of Sovietology this morning. Just a little. And then we're going to talk about it. I'm going to read two articles. The first article comes from UKR Inform. I think it's meant to be Ukraine Inform, but UKRinform.net. And the title of the article, Russia Suffering Colossal Losses in Kursk Region, Failing to Break the Ukraine's Lines, Unit Commander. And the reason why I looked this up is because Twitter, you know, the free speech app, they wouldn't fuck with you, had one of these little, note tags on the side about headline stuff. And the headline was, the Russians were having massive losses in the Kursk region. So I'm going to read on. Russian troops are suffering colossal losses in Kursk region, while the deployment of North Korean troops has not had any psychological effect on the Ukrainian military. Stanislav Krasnov, platoon commander with the 95th Airborne Assault Brigade, stated this on national television, the UKR Inform reports. According to the commander, the situation in the Kursk region remains tense, as Russian troops do not stop assaults and strikes while Ukraine troops successfully repel enemy attacks. The Russians are not able to break through our defense line. They are suffering huge losses. A large amount of infantry and equipment they are using is being wasted. I just vomited in my mouth. I'm going to stop here. If you want to read the whole fucking article, it's up to you. I just vomited. This is just terrible bullshit. I'm going to read some or all of the next article. This is from Al Jazeera. Headline. Ukraine prepares to fight North Korean troops in Kursk as war escalates. And this is Al Jazeera, and the author is John T. Pissaropoulos. I don't know. Ukraine prepared to fight North Korean troops in the Russian region of Kursk on Wednesday as the entry of a second nuclear power in Russia's war against Ukraine threatened to escalate and broaden the conflict. The United States Pentagon confirmed on Tuesday that North Korean troops were in Kursk, where Ukraine launched a counter-invasion almost 3 months ago. Pentagon spokesman Pat Ryder said, there was a small number of... Oh my God, I can't read this either because it's so fucking stupid. So stupid, significant escalation, blah, blah, blah. Here come, oh, okay. Ukrainian Ground Forces commander said on Telegram, an estimated 10,520 Russians were dead or wounded in the preceding week. Dead or wounded. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to just say this up front. When it comes to the Ukraine conflict, I don't believe we're getting any type of opinions other than it's real. And it's real, and you know, the Ukrainians are fighting and winning sometimes, and the Russians are fighting and winning sometimes. And when you compare these two articles, I mean, one of them is clearly an NGO propaganda outlet, UKR Inform. The other, Al Jazeera, I mean, I don't know how to put it, but compared to a lot of the crap we have in the U.S. right now, it's a relatively balanced source of information. Relatively. They're all kind of crappy at this point. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, because this conflict exists for a reason, and I don't believe most people understand it. The typical mega head will say, well, Dan, the Ukraine war was for money laundering. Well, if that's true, shocker, you know, I think we're going to continue to support it. I think Trump, whatever promise you think he made, I don't know how to put this, he has broken promises before. If you don't think he can break promises, you don't remember 2020. I feel as if people are very confused. But yeah, the reality is we will continue to support the Ukrainians. And in fact, you know, shocker, just like with Syria after Obama, I think Trump could escalate in the Ukraine, just like I think he could escalate against the Iranians in the ongoing conflicts involving, you know, the chosen perfect state of Israel. But I said this in 2022, and I stick to it. I said this, I think, in March of 2022, just after the war started. If this war lasts longer than 90 days, something else is going on. None of this looks like a legit war to me at this point. And if you think it's just Hanlon's razor, like it's just an example of a lot of stupidity gone wrong, maybe. But I just can't see it. Putin, whatever you think about Putin, has roughly the same moral compass as any member of the Bush, Clinton, Obama, or Cheney family. So if you want me to say, is he a good guy or a bad guy, he's your typical sociopath that you're going to find in that position of power. Just like Trump, just like, you know, I'm not going to say Biden because I think he had some sort of spongy form issue, you know, mad cow going on. But whoever was operating the puppet we currently call Biden, these are not good people. But they are often practical people, which means that if you believe Putin is an independent sociopath, then what he is currently doing is really fucking stupid. It's not 12-dimensional chess, it's not brilliant, it's really stupid. The longer the conflict lasts, if you think it's real, the worse it is for Putin. The smartest thing he could do at this point, and this is the truth, is put a stop to it. And this isn't because the Russians are losing. The thing about the Ukraine war is it's a good example of, can you bleed somebody to death? And the answer is you can if they just keep running at you. You're holding the knife out there. If they keep running at you, you don't have to put up much effort. You can bleed them and you don't have to do much of anything because they're grabbing the knife from you and they're cutting themselves. That's what Putin is doing right now. If he had wanted to put an end to this, it could have been over within 3 months. There is zero reason for it to last this long. The only explanation I can come up with at this point is it is another example of some type of contrived bullshit to hide something else. It really is. Because I just don't see how Putin stays in power. And it's not about democracy. Get over that. Your vote doesn't count anywhere, least of all here. It's about the simple fact that Putin is a person who has control of an institution with tremendous power, and there are other people behind him, underneath him, you know, hidden in the corridors, who wouldn't hesitate to push the button. They wouldn't hesitate to launch nukes. So whatever is going on, it's really strange. And yeah, like I said, I think Papa Blump is going to keep the money flowing to the Ukrainians. You know, send me your angry email. I don't give a fuck. Well, he's going to bring Ron Paul. He might bring in Ron Paul. And the good news, my gentle puddle flower, is it's going to tell you more about Ron Paul than, you know, Trump. From a Sovietological perspective, you know, looking at this in terms of Sovietology, Ron Paul joining the Trump administration is very interesting, if that happens. And to a lesser extent, RFK. RFK is an empty bag, but, you know, even RFK joining the Trump administration gives you information in that hermeneutics Sovietology sense. I don't want to spend more time on this. I would suggest you read both articles because I can barely read them. They both seem like nonsense to me. But from what I can tell, the Ukrainians and the Russians have been LARPing World War I for the last few years. And of course, the scale of death isn't the same. And that's also a critical point here. I think a lot of Ukrainians may have died and are dying. But, you know, if you compare that to, like, the battles on the Western Front between 1914 and 1918, it's really no comparison. And we're not there yet. But we're at a point in this age we live in where people, I suppose, are feeling the pinch, but I just don't know. I don't know. I feel like they're LARPing the Western Front on the Eastern Front. It's definitely not the Eastern Front of World War II. That's not what they're LARPing. No. It's kind of like 1916. It's a lot of bullshit. Anyways, you guys can go all edgelord on it. I think it's bullshit. Any time wasted on it is probably just, you know, wasted time. Let's just be clear at this point. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. The life they sold you is a lie, Dr. Freckles. What does that mean, Dan? Why do you always say everything's bad, everything's a lie? Let me tell you about the life they sold me. They told me that by the time I was 50 years old, we would be living on Mars. They told me that by the time I was 50 years old, every organ in my body could be replaced with a machine. They told me by the time I was 50 years old, I would have magical clothing that protected me from bullets and laser cannons. By the time I was 50 years old, they told me when I was 50, it would be so nifty as that space shuttle took me to the moon. Real soon. They sold me Jetsons and video game madness on Saturday morning TV between 8 and noon. I'd watch a cartoon. I'd watch a commercial about some type of Monsanto Norman Borlaug monstrosity of sugar curiosity, some sort of cookies and a soup, a goop, and nobody cared about diabetes because there wasn't a lot of diabetes yet, but it was coming on soon, very soon. Mrs. Butterworth. They told us a lot of stuff. If you're Generation X, you know a few things. Now you could say, well, Dan, I got a smartphone. And you did. You got that fancy schmancy, very much subsidized dog collar. You do. You got a fancy expensive dog collar. I have a little flip phone Go Flip dog collar. And the difference between you and me is the following. Mine is cheaper. Mine can still function as a hotspot. Mine has a battery that lasts probably 10 times as long. But in terms of being a dog collar, every time I put that in my pocket, it's a dog collar. Every time you put your fucking smartphone in your pocket, it's a dog collar. If you tell me, well, Dan, we have to have smartphones or people are going to die. People will have heart attacks and die. Kids will get lost. You know, latchkey kids will get involved with stranger danger. And they'll find a cotton candy nightmare bear with razor blade eyes. And somewhere, somehow, people going to die if you don't have a smartphone. But other than your wretched fucking fetish around your glowing rectangle, name for me the things that have improved. I recall, I have memory of flights being more comfortable and frankly taking less time just 25, 30 years ago. So what exactly happened? And don't get me started on the weather. Whatever's going on, somebody's lying. I mean, you could say we have more clouds today because they added like 20 to the textbooks, right? And now we have hurricanes that happen over land. That's normal. And, you know, we have, you know, atmospheric rivers and heat domes and all kinds of fancy shit. Arctic fucking polar vortexes. These are things I do not recall when I was a kid. So I suppose we have some things that were not promised that have happened. Unless, of course, you were reading dystopian stuff, you know, in the 1970s, those promises came true. And maybe that's the way we should look at it. In a way, Generation X got the dystopia they were promised. You know? You go to REI to buy your action clothing, your Swift pants, so you look sexy when you're going up to the woods. You get your special boots that repel all kinds of water. They have solar-powered ions in them to keep your little feet warm in the snow. On you go, little child. Get into your SUV. Put on that music that says nothing matters. The life they sold you, the life they sold me, was a lie. It's a lie. And it's a lie that, you know, probably was easy to sell because we were growing up in the United States of America. And it seemed like everything always kind of gets better. Yeah, you got setbacks and we don't talk about Nixon or Vietnam in this household. But everything was going to be better. It was morning in America. We were going to be a shining city on the hill. And then you get to the 1990s. And this was the period of time when I was more of a humanities geek, and B, mostly in the Army, you know, either ROTC or going on active duty. And so I kind of missed out, but there was the 90s, the go-go 90s, the yen carry trade financialization of a internet boogaloo boog 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 boom. You know, pets.com, food.com. And then that boisted. But, you know, it seemed like it boisted. And then we had 9/11. And then we had a housing frenzy. And then we had the GFC. Where in all of this did the things, you know, the fusion reactors, the electronic brain that will do all your work for you, which, you know, kind of really hasn't happened yet, if we're being honest. I mean, yeah, I don't know. These things like Grok are entertaining, but I'm still seeing the Mechanical Turk. So many promises, and they still do it. I mean, Elon Musk is the king of promises. And you can say, well, he kept them. He made an electric car, an electric truck. Brothers and sisters, people were building and selling electric cars more than 100 fucking years ago. Okay? You could argue that 100 years of innovation, which got wiped out by your neo-Stalinist hellhole big oil friends, well, shit, fuck. But that wasn't because of free enterprise. That was your good friend government, you moron. And if you think Papa Blump's gonna do any different, you're crazy. The life they sold you is bullshit, but that's okay. Next topic, okay? Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Go ahead and fuck it up. It's okay to be really good at fucking up, as long as you're equally good at not giving up or dying. It's okay to make horrible mistakes. It's okay. Those are the breaks. But you also gotta be good at not giving up, or, you know, dying. It's okay to be really good at fucking up, as long as you're equally good at not giving up or dying. Dr. Freckles. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's the deal. Here's the situation, friendo. I talk to a lot of teenagers in my current job. Oh, Dan, that means you're a greaseball. Whatever, fuck you. I talk to a lot of teenagers in my current job. I work at a school. That's as much as I can say. And the segment of the population tends to be the segment that's going through a lot of problems. I don't tend to see a lot of the students who are, how can I phrase this, living that enchanted high school year life, the John Hughes life. I see the other students. And a lot of the time, these students will treat a failure as the end of the world. And I understand this because I did that when I was a kid. Like, any little failure, I would just overreact and I would give up. And it took a long time to get over it. If I didn't get over that, I would have never tried to publish 10 years ago to Kindle. I would have never written something to publish. It might have been total shit. Episode 36. I think it's a pretty good story. Doesn't matter. If I had been afraid of, you know, trying and failing, I wouldn't have done that. I would have given up on my podcast 10 years ago, after the first couple times YouTube banned me. After the first few times, Twitter banned me. After the first few times, I got canceled or banned. After GoDaddy ripped off my website and my prepaid fees, which means money, my intellectual property. After GoDaddy did that in 2021, a rational person might have said, why don't you fucking give up? Here's the deal. It's okay to make mistakes. Everybody does. You probably want to learn from them. That's also good. But if you're going to make mistakes, you also need to be good at not giving up or dying. Next topic. I don't want to waste your time on imbloviations. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. Oh, Dan, you're thin, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your Freckles thoughts. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Scientists should be crazy enough to not be afraid to see. Scientists should be crazy enough to not be afraid of the truth. Scientists should be crazy enough to break through barriers, to go beyond, to let their imagination take them on a ride, you know, up to a point, right? But never be afraid to see. Scientists, I'm going to drink some sacred coffee. This is sacred coffee now that I am starting to save resources for my sacred institute to be built someplace in the Olympic Mountains. I needed to drink some sacred coffee here. Ah, sacred coffee. Yeah, and I'm probably going to sell sacred coffee. It'll be 50% arsenic, the rest, you know, bits of lead and uranium. I will sell sacred coffee. It'll be made someplace overseas where nobody gives a shit. I will sell you sacred coffee. That's why I'm going to start living on a ship. That Elrond, he had a few ideas. You know, if you want to stay one step ahead of the law, and you're making the assumption that the Coast Guard or the Navy won't torpedo you, then yeah, live on a ship. Live on a ship. Get yourself a ship that's flagged in maybe Nigeria or someplace like that. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know, Haiti. Scientists should be crazy enough to not be afraid to see. There was a guy I used to listen to because I thought he had a good podcast. And then 2020 happened. And this person who was ostensibly, this sensible scientist, this PhD in biology, he started spreading a lot of really creepy fear around the COVID starting in April 2020. He started spreading the fear about how it was crawling up pipes in apartment buildings. He started spreading the fear about how it could be hemorrhagic. He started spreading the fear that it was making 35,000 different variants every week or whatever. He spread a lot of fucking fear. He scared a lot of fucking people. If you think of this, you know, statistically, put on your scientist helmet. If a guy like this had, let's say, 5 million people listening, then of that 5 million, there's a percentage of people that killed themselves because they listened to this fucking shithead. You know? Say what you will about my message. There's a couple things. A, I try to make it funny. And B, I try to, at the end of every fucking podcast, to remind you it's not the end of the world. But this fucker, he was just pumping up fear. And then there were a lot of edgelord scientists, you know? These in-betweeners. Well, you know, we overreacted and you can take horse dewormer or you can shove bleach and UV lights. Shut the fuck up. And then there's the limited hangout of the vaccine, which, you know, to this day, I've had multiple medical procedures since 2020, sadly. None of them involve getting tested for COVID. None of them involve getting a vaccine. Nobody forced a vaccine on me. That has not happened yet. Is there a lot of stupidity around wearing masks? Yeah. Yeah, that's a performative gesture that is both absurd and unhealthy. I mean, there are legitimate reasons for people to wear one of those shitty masks. But most of you motherfuckers are killing yourselves, and you don't fucking care. Don't preach the sober life. Don't preach the sober life. If I see you wearing a coffee filter, shut the fuck up, baby. Almost nobody I knew in 2020 saw the COVID the way I did. And at the time, I was being grifted left and right. There was a lot of creepy stuff happening to me and my podcast in the spring and summer of 2020. And I don't think it's an accident. And I look back upon those days and previous days, and all I can tell you is, I don't have a clear answer, but yes, Virginia, the feds don't care about the Democratic National Convention. The feds don't give a fuck about mega heads and people that buy their guns at Cabela's. The feds do not give a fuck about Oliver Twist and the Libertarian Party. But it turns out, and it kind of makes sense, that the anarchist movement is filled with fucking grifters and feds. And frankly, a lot of those grifters, yeah, they're probably feds or confidential informants. The government is stupid up to a point, but they don't have infinite resources. So they're not really going to put a lot of feds hanging out with Republicans or Democrats. You'll read about it. Oh my God, they spied on Trump. No, buddy, Trump owns your mind. The whole Trump mythology, that's TDS. I don't care if you're a liberal, conservative, progressive. And this is the third option, by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Sovietologist, that no one's supposed to talk about. You all got TDS. The mega heads got TDS. The fucking anti-mega heads got TDS. You are fucking absurdly crazy. At this point in history, you're putting yourself and the people that care about you in danger. That is a pathology. That's something that can lead to your death. You have TDS. You truly believe that Trump's going to save you, the same motherfucker that shoved Fauci up your butt in 2020 is going to fucking save you. Are you fucking stupid? I didn't come across one scientist in 2020 that saw the COVID the way I did. And I'm not claiming I'm a scientist. I simply try to be rational. And I, like I said, lived a half a mile from every major emergency room in Seattle. And what I saw was a lot of weird shit, but none of it matched a pandemic or a plague. And yeah, a lot of people did die in 2020 as a result of the bullshit. Reclassify hospital-acquired infection. That killed roughly 200,000 people a year in U.S. hospitals prior to 2020. Reclassify the flu. Put them together. You've got the COVID goo. Add in that special test that the inventor said, do not use, shithead. Do not use, shithead. Do not use it for this. And now you got the COVID. You got the COVID. You got the COVID. Now go on a respirator. Fuck off. Scientists should be crazy enough to not be afraid to see. Think on it. And here's the last topic, which is also a quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm going to go ahead and drink some more sacred coffee. I learned most of what I know about military psychological warfare the same way I learned my anarchism. Being repeatedly, in that metaphorical sense, being furiously, in that figurative sense, being horribly, being nastily, kicked in the groin, kicked in my loin, kicked in the nuts. That's the path I took. Kicked in the nuts. It kicked me farther down the road. I wrote an essay in, I think it was late 2016, after I threw away my Libertarianville bullshit. And I've talked about that on my podcast if you've been listening to me for the last decade. But I, in late 2016, I wrote an essay that's a PDF. It's in my archive on the website, if you can find it, like you fucking care. And the title of the essay is My Anarchism. And in the essay, I make the point that from a perspective of my psyche, I was probably an anarchist from the day I was born. And I think we all are, basically, because it's a natural state. And it took a lot of Catholicism and a lot of bargaining and a lot of delusion to keep me away from that truth. When I left the army in 1999, I was an anarchist because, again, I got kicked in the balls enough. And I'd learned a few things. And I wasn't even in combat. But just what I saw my year in Korea and other things I saw in the peacetime army under Clinton back home. And all I saw, all I could see everywhere I went was a lot of corruption. And things were going sideways. You know, later on, people would talk about how the lawyers took over the military. Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that, you know. And it started in the 90s. I ended up where I'm at today, 8 years ago, because I mostly got kicked in the ball so much I got tired of it. I got tired of it. I got tired of the football, Lucy and the football. And people do it over and over again. They waste their energy. They waste their spirit. They yell at a fucking TV set because somebody on the TV or on the YouTube said something. Too much energy that could be used to do useful things, in the very least to do things that would make you happy, but it's spent on stuff that frankly does nothing to help you. You can get angry at Trump, that will change nothing about the state of reality. You can love Trump and it will change nothing about the state of reality. You can be an edgelord and say, well, Dan, I'm just an anarchist supporting Trump because it pisses people off, which means you like to mock the mentally ill. Which is about as low energy as I think you can get, other than actual racism. Actually, then you know, actually hating people for any particular feature, hating people for a handicap. You enjoy, edgelord, mocking the mentally ill. You're a motherfucker. You're a piece of shit. I learned about military psychological warfare living in Seattle in 2020, really, I was living there before 2020, but I was there during 2020. Late 2019 is when a lot of spooky stuff started happening. And this is something I was talking about in my podcast in late 2019. Not just that I said, listeners, something's about to happen big time, but also I said, it's weird what they're doing with metro schedules. You know, a lot of weird stuff was happening in late 2019. I learned what I know about military psychological warfare, more or less the same way I reached the point I'm at philosophically with respect to my relationship to society, with respect to my anarchism. I went through a year and a half of hell that almost killed me. And if it weren't for a good friend, who I hope is still my friend, and I hope he's okay, if you're out there, you know, and I pray for you, and I hope you're out there, and give me a call sometime. But if it wasn't for a good friend saving my fucking ass, a couple good friends, you know, if both of you are listening, I hope you know who you are. You know who you are. If it wasn't for them, I'd be dead. And you can say, well, Dan, that's an exaggeration. No, it's not. I'm not going to go into the gritty details, and I'm not going to romanticize a dark, dark decision that people sometimes make because it's a horrible decision. And it impacts people's lives. But the truth is, if I'd stayed in Seattle another couple months, I don't think I would have made it. I'm not saying I'm a glowing representation of mental health today, but if I'd stayed in Seattle through 2021, I think I wouldn't have made it. It was a snake pit. If you know, look up that phrase yourself. Look up the movie. It was a snake pit. It was a dark, dark place of lies. It was a place where, knowing what I know now, a lot of bullshit was being dropped on people. I'm fairly certain there were U.S. Army PSYOP trucks up and down the Central District, summer of 2020, more or less simulating gunfire, machine gun fire. I did not understand at the time the full scope of it because it was hard. It was hard living through it and seeing it for what it was. But very early on, and this would be March of 2020, I did a podcast called Bank Holiday. And looking back, it's a really optimistic podcast. And some of you might still be on that square, which means, yes, the COVID is bullshit, and it was set up to cover up the implosion of the banking system again, which was starting in late 2019. And again, that's, you know, you can stop on that square. The problem is the bullshit didn't end. There was the BLM Antifa eruption and this fucking bullshit in the Ukraine. And I don't know what you say about 100,000 tons of TNT plus on 141 square miles in roughly a year, but whatever the fuck it is, it's retarded. The retarded PSYOP bullshit, the trauma monkeys, the level of manipulation, including the latest election season, is off the charts. The bullshit's off the charts. And some of you could accuse me of being the engineer that has a hammer and only sees nails. Some of you could accuse me of confirmation bias. I look at that myself. I criticize myself. When I talk about Sovietology in my, you know, magnum opus manifesto, the thing I mention is you got to be careful about your own bias, about what you want to see. This is one of the reasons why I didn't really understand Buy the Dip 12 years ago, you know, or really, no, excuse me, 14 years ago. I didn't really get it. The Buy the Dip, it didn't make sense. It seemed every afternoon the markets went up. And almost every day. And it was a basket of stocks. And it did not seem real. And most of it became obvious post-2010. Flash crash, if you know, you know. But at the time, I just could not wrap my head around the idea that we were living in basically a neo-Stalinist hellhole. And that none of it was real. None of it. It's why I tell you, and I'm not original, and I'm restating something other people might tell you, there's a really good chance the stock market will keep going up weeks after there's no fucking food. Like, they'll keep that fucking bullshit going. Oh yeah, it was like the toilet paper. We got the food coming in from China. Yeah, the Chinese will be feeding themselves. The Indian people will be feeding themselves. The Russian people who you mock will be feeding themselves. If you want to eat, you'll be feeding yourselves. But that stock market will keep going up. TD Ameritrade, open up your account, buy 5,000 shares. The kids are crying to sleep. I learned most of what I know about military psychological warfare the same way I learned, quote-unquote, my anarchism, being repeatedly kicked in the nuts. And I'm at the point now where I don't think it's all a PSYOP, but yeah, I even put together a spreadsheet a few years ago. Post-2020, they turned up the dial. And that's another question. In fact, the best comparison I can make every day since early 2020, the best comparison I can make is to the 2 or 3 weeks after 9/11. But it's been a couple, you know, it's almost 5 fucking years. Almost 5 fucking years in a couple months of this level of unrelenting bullshit. And the Trumps, listen, whatever you want to say about the Trump victory, for those of us who have any sensitivity to reality, it's fucking ominous. And if you think it buys you time, you don't understand the game you're playing. You don't understand that it's rigged. You don't understand that Buy the Dip is another way to say, fuck you, slave. If you enjoy this podcast, I don't know why, because I have ungumbulated you. I took away your powers. Did you know that your grandma really wants to get, like, I don't know, 350 abortions, but Trump won't let her now? She'll only be able to get 349 abortions. Did you know that? If you like my podcast, you can donate to it. There's a Peter Thiel, J.D. Vance, Donald Trump certified PayPal link, Mega Man. You can donate. But before you do, listen to the disclosure. Number one, take care of yourself. Take care of your food, water, shelter. If you can't pay rent, you can't donate to me. Okay, do that first before you donate to anybody. It's why I beg for money at the end. It's why I don't have a paywall. It's okay to listen. You don't have to pay. If you're setting aside food for survival because you think a famine is coming, and it is, ladies and gentlemen, it'll hit Rome last, if you know what I know. But if you know, it'll hit Rome last. But yeah, famine's coming. And so you're setting aside 6 months of food because you're an optimist. That's great. If you have a dog, cat, bat, rat, bird, whatever, maybe a septic tank turd baby, but probably, let's talk about dogs. If you have a dog as a pet and you're setting aside food for your family, make sure you set aside 6 months food for your pet. And you do that before you donate to me. If you have friends in your life that need help, and right now is about real life people, okay? Real life people. Do you have it? Do you have real life community? If there are real people in your real life that need help, they don't have to be local, but they should be people you know are real. Help them first. Help the people nearest to you in your community first before you donate to any podcast at this point or any crap head on the internet or any political campaign or blah, 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 or me, whatever. And you can get my manifesto for free. It's free. Free PDF. And last but not least, it's not the end of the world. I do think some crazy ass shit is coming. Also, not the end of the world. As Dr. Freckles has said, and I repeat so many times, there are good times in bad times. There are bad times in good times. That's the way it's always been. And even if life looks crazy pretty soon, doesn't mean you can't live, and it doesn't mean you can't be happy, but you do have to be mentally prepared to be flexible. You do. You have to be ready for that. You can't say to yourself, if I don't have DoorDash, if I don't have my smart device, if I don't have my TD Ameritrade, the world is over. If that's the way you think, then probably your world is over. But the world is not coming to an end. However, there's a lot of ordinary, everyday shit we take for granted. And right now, it's available. At some point in the future, at any price, it probably won't be. So if you have a little bit of extra money, before you donate to my podcast, donate to yourself, to your psyche, to your family. Do something that would make you happy. Right now, you can still get into a car and you can pay for fuel and you can make it from A to B. There could be a time in the future where going 20 miles is harder than going 2,000 miles today. Right now, you can actually go those 2,000 miles. Whatever it is. Seeing an old friend, do that first. Do something that makes you happy first before you donate to me. But if you've done everything in this life and life no longer has flavor, you savor the abysmalness of it all, but you sit on a pile of gold and Bitcoin and all sorts of cash and hookers and crack cocaine, you can send me as much money and loot as you want to, Mr. Boot. I'll take your cash, I'll take your hash, I'll take your whores. I won't get bored, at least not for 2 weeks. I'll go to the casino, I'll bet real high, I'll get real low. Just send me all your money, bro, and I promise you, I'll make a spectacle in the Sky Castle. It's Saturday, November the 9th, 2024, Boblimpdoc. It's almost 7 a.m. for the Gumpton folk in Sector 5. They need to wake up and go to the kitten factory. They need to wake up and take them out of the molds, some of the kittens. They cooked a little too long, and now they're dangerous. They're tiger kitties, so you have to take them to the drowning pool out back. Oh, you poor Gumpton folk. Have a great rest of your fucking weekend.